Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Friday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well as we head into the weekend. It's going to be a warm weekend, but another big weekend of football. We've got high school football tonight on our stations here over on Wings 94.3. Auburn High hosting Enterprise.
I was just asking Jacob as he was leaving. I had to hurry because I'm on the ones and twos today. I'm on the wheels of steel. But I was asking Jacob, does Enterprise still run the Chandler Cox offense? Because I know that coach came up and it was like they still it's a difficult team to get to prepare for. They run a multi look, like Fisher DeBerry, multi look option sort of offense, and yeah, it's something to behold, and they've given Auburn trouble in the past, but it's going to be should be a good one tonight at the Duck.
Yeah, and meanwhile, Lee Scott is on the road for the first time this year. They're at Beulah, and you can hear that one over on AU 100. Both of those 6:30 with the airtime, 7 o'clock kickoff for those. We got a couple of college games on tap tonight. Yeah. That's Don Dunn, Coach Don Dunn, joining us here in the studio as well.
Yeah, Bill, how you guys doing? Great to be here with you on this hot fall day.
Well, I mean, that's the way
it's Alabama football.
We have an early game tomorrow, so it's going to be hot.
Hey, Coach, did anything change preparation-wise for an 11 a.m. or an early kick, home or road?
You had to really, really – the biggest thing for us, we had to get them up and get them moving.
Yeah.
You're used to laying around the hotel all day for a night game, but that early game, you got to get them up, pregame meals really combined with breakfast. It's more of a brunch.
I'd be so scared of a cold start.
Yeah,
by a team. You know what I mean? Like that's
on the road. You want to play early.
Yeah.
At home, I always worried because there's nothing like a night game at Auburn, or really anywhere in the SEC. It's an advantage for South Alabama. Not that it's we should take care of business, but still, as a coach, you worry. First day game. We played two night games. Yeah, it's a concern, but it's nice when you win. You get to go home, watch everybody else.
Yeah, that's
be
right.
Nervous.
I mean, if you're at home and you've got one of these early games,
yeah,
it's
you're
great.
Home. You're
and
home.
You win.
Yes, and so, you win. Yeah. But if you lose, it's a long.
Oh, you're
24
right.
Hours.
You're right about that. We'll talk about the Auburn game. It's a whiteout, including white jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
Last time Auburn wore white jerseys.
You were there for both of them, Coach.
Yeah, you were. 2007 and 2008 were the last two times.
The Vandy game in 07, you guys played real well at home in the white jerseys against
That's
Vanderbilt
right.
in 2007. And then a year later, UT Martin came in with the orange jerseys.
Right.
They wanted to wear those jerseys, so
right.
Auburn wore the white.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
A reunion or something when we wore them in 07, I believe.
I think it was a celebration of the 1957 Auburn National Championship.
I think that's 50 right.
Year, yeah. 50-year celebration.
Yeah, and again, I've always said I love the fact that we don't mess with our uniforms. All these teams go with black and I don't even know who they are sometimes.
Sure, but you but the occasional white jersey at
yes,
home.
Yes, I like I think the white is, on
yeah.
white.
Yeah,
I really like that on the road, of course, and at home it's fine.
And kudos to South Alabama, although I'm sure this is a Jerry Maguire situation, and they were shown the money.
Yeah, show me the money
because in a non-conference game, both teams have to agree if the home team wants to wear white. That's SEC rules. That's why occasionally LSU, especially in the past,
right,
you would see teams play hardball with LSU and make them wear the purple jerseys in non-conference play
for sure.
At home. In SEC games, the home team decides what they're going to wear, which is why LSU can wear white at home. You know, whenever they want in conference play. Right. I always thought Auburn, you know, maybe they were going to break out the white jerseys for a conference home game whiteout. But the other option is get a non-conference opponent that's willing to play ball and maybe cut them.
Especially when you've got an early game in September. Yep. I mean, I think it makes sense for the fans to, you know, to be dressed a little cooler, and it sure doesn't hurt for your team to be wearing the lighter colors.
My understanding is that LSU pays a little bit more than market value for some of their paycheck games, with the understanding that teams will let LSU wear the white jersey. Wonder if Auburn and South Alabama worked something out, or maybe it was as simple as a phone call. Maybe Hugh Freeze called Cliff.
Yeah, Ben. I mean,
and brought it up, and it was, you know, like, it's, but either way, it's very cool that, and you saw that sort of flare up with Northwestern and Tulane earlier this year, where the coaches didn't necessarily agree on who should wear the white jersey, and it became a thing. So I think it's cool that Auburn was able to work this one out, and it's another thing making this first ever visit from South Alabama a little bit more special.
First ever meeting between the two in football, and that's something Hugh Freeze talked about, Don, that he likes. Keeping that money, if you're going to be spending that kind of money, keep it in state and help the smaller in state schools.
Exactly, I think it's great. You know, it's going to be exciting for those kids at South Alabama. The coaches, you know, Trey Williams is on that staff.
Yes, he is.
And I didn't realize Bobby Petrino's brother,
Paul,
who's a good football coach.
He's their offensive coordinator,
and then the head coach. So they got some guys that know what they're doing.
Cliff was Cliff at Alabama for a little while there. No, I'm sorry, not Cliff. Major. I keep calling him Cliff Kingsbury. It's Major Applewhite.
Major Applewhite.
I keep getting my Texas quarterback.
Yeah, he was Nick's offensive coordinator, I believe, his first season.
Yeah, Major Applewhite was the was there early in the Saban tenure, and he's done an excellent job as an offensive coordinator, and then stepping in for Kane Womack as the head coach at South. He's someone that I think people think really highly of. And coach, you were at Auburn when South started their football program, and they announced, you know, they were going to put a D1 program there in Mobile.
Well,
I've always thought that, you know, that area seemed like
a gold mine.
I mean,
in
Louisiana, next door,
in Northwest Florida,
yes.
Southwest Alabama,
yes.
And Southeast Mississippi. Well,
guys Joe Witt got out of that area.
All the way along I-10. Yeah. I mean, from Louisiana down into Florida.
Well, I'd say this, you know, when I was at Western Kentucky my first year, we went down there and we're thinking, you know, South Alabama. They had a sellout crowd and kicked our butts. And we beat Kentucky the week before. So they weren't very long. That's been like 2013, so they were really young. Yeah, I think it's a great place, Bill, for a football, you know, to start one and continue one because of the recruiting base.
Mm-hmm. And you look at their roster, and they've got a lot of players from down there in that area.
Well, it's one of those areas where you would think even after the major programs have gone in and gotten the players they want.
There's going to be plenty. And good high school football down there, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's something people say about Atlanta. That's something people say about like the South Florida area. Mm-hmm. And I think it's probably true of – and I've always – I mean, I'm biased, but I've always thought that Pensacola to Panama City corridor has some really good football players, including the best receiver on South Alabama, who is a Crestview High player. And I think that's part of the reason why Drew stepped out today, is because he's got a conflict. You know, Auburn's facing a top-tier Crestview High receiver like Devin. So, I mean, I think this is going to be – it's an opportunity for Auburn to get better and stay healthy and take care of business at home and get ready for Oklahoma. It's a big opportunity for South Alabama to
it's a huge opportunity for them. I mean, they're looking if they can do, you know, what South Florida did last week to Florida in Gainesville or you know, something like that. I mean, this is their Super Bowl. It's their national championship.
Oh yeah, no doubt. And, you know, they'll play well early. You know, they played Tulane tough.
They really did.
Of course, Tulane's not Auburn, but Tulane's very respectable.
Tulane's one of the better Group 5 programs.
Yes, yes. And it'll be interesting. We can't fiddle around. That's what I worry about, getting out there, like you said, Dan, half asleep, jumping off sides, fumbling, not catching punts. And I think our team is mature enough. From what I've seen the first two games, I could be dead wrong. Go out there, take business, knock the heck out of them.
I was, yeah, you're on the radio, Coach.
Yeah, Gabby. I know.
I was watching an old Final Four game the other day, and Raftery made the point that he didn't like how dry one of the teams, you know, started. Like, he was like, you know, it's we're a minute and a half into this game. None of these guys are sweaty. I wonder how I do wonder if for an 11 a.m. or for a noon game, if you're intensifying the pregame. Because you don't want your team out there, you know, warming up in the first couple of drives, first couple of drives of the game.
Yeah.
And Hugh Freeze has talked about a slow start.
Yeah, they'll get them up, and they'll have a walkthrough early out in the parking lot at the hotel. They'll get them going. And, you know, Terry and I always had our own little walkthrough before the walkthrough, and they hated that, but I didn't care. We got them out of the bed. You had to.
Yeah.
And make sure they're up and on time, you know, all the little things you worry about.
Make sure they eat.
Yes.
I mean, that's another. Yeah. I mean, Coach.
Because a lot of people don't eat in the mornings.
Yeah.
But, yeah, force them to eat.
A player who chose not to eat is going to be feeling it at halftime. Like that, you know, they're going to be making sure. Like that's.
And as hot as it is, you're going to cramp.
Yeah.
I asked our man Cadillac.
I think that's something to watch for
on
tomorrow.
Right? Both sides.
I think seeing yeah. how.
But luckily, it's been warm all week.
Yeah, it has.
And this is also not a like the team coming in. One would think is
it's
familiar.
Not from Michigan or somewhere or Minnesota.
Yeah, it's not. It's not. It's not. It's
They've
not.
Had some hot days down there. Believe
no, but
me.
But Auburn should. You know, Auburn should be the deeper team.
Yes.
And their guys may have to be on the field a little bit longer. Than
yeah,
Auburn's.
No doubt. They don't have the depth and rotation that we will have.
Which is why I mean, especially if Auburn can avoid the slow start, you would think eventually Auburn's going to be able to. You know, between the depth and the talent, they should be able to eventually pull away. The longer this game is close, like Coach, I mean, I don't know how often you guys played where it was. Oh, we were supposed to
South Florida. You remember?
Yeah.
We let them hang around and they beat us.
There was a state
game. Vanderbilt game up there. We jump up and then we fiddle around, let them hang around, beat us.
Right after South Florida, there's the game, the state game with Brandon and Cody going in and out.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be a significant Auburn win, and it's not the way things worked out. But I mean, that's like being in the stadium, Bill. You've got your share of these too. Being in the stadium for a game that was supposed to be a throttling, and it's
the crowd. I mean, gets It can get pretty quiet in there. I mean, crowds sitting on their hands waiting for the team to do something to fire them up.
You start getting nervous.
It can get quiet, and it can get uncomfortable, and it can even turn negative.
Oh, it can, definitely.
Coach, I imagine that's something that you just – and for Hugh Freeze and for some of these guys that have been here the whole time, I mean, there could be some
flashbacks. New Mexico could be
flashing back.
Auburn's
to some
had
of those.
Some rough times, rough games at home.
I'm
telling you, it's just you cannot convince them, and it's just human nature, guys. It's what it is.
Yeah, Auburn about a 25-point favorite. A big weekend of football, though. We'll talk about a lot of the games.
Yeah.
And again, I told you this yesterday, Dan. I don't think we mentioned it on the air, but. I like a lot of underdogs this weekend, and I'm probably wrong on a lot of them. We'll talk about a lot of these games though as we head on through. But speaking of the Auburn South Alabama game, Drew texted us, and our friend Brian has a pair of tickets for tomorrow that he'd like to give away.
Wow!
So here's what we will do. We will just you can call in and tell us that you would like to be in a drawing, and we'll just draw for a winner
at the end of the show.
Yeah, toward the end of the show. So we'll give everybody a chance to just get in a drawing. If you want a pair of tickets, for tomorrow's Auburn South Alabama game, an 11:45 kick over at Jordan-Hare,
courtesy of our pal Brian, who's been calling and listening. But we'll get that rolling.
Yeah, we will do that. We will go ahead and get to our first break. Here on the Friday Drive. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn, we're just underway. Come on in and join us here on The Drive.
The Drive. The Drive. With Bill Cameron and Dan. Back to The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Friday Drive. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn, and we have a pair of tickets for Auburn and South Alabama tomorrow. We'll need your contact info. Brett called in, and yeah, we're very familiar with Brett, but the problem is, Brett, we don't have enough info on you that if you win, you know, we need to be able to get you in touch with Brian, get Brian so Brian can transfer those tickets. So if you're interested in the tickets, call in, let us know that you'd like to be in the drawing, and we need your phone. We need a phone number. So we can contact you. Do we need another marker? Dan, do we need okay. Dan is looking for another marker right now. I've got a pen and some paper we can use if it comes down to it. We'll give away a pair of tickets toward the end of the show for Auburn and South Alabama. But we'd love your thoughts on anything going on. I mean, as I said, I mean, there's some big ball games, yeah. A lot of them involving the Southeastern Conference. Mm-hmm. And some of them just appear to be surprising lines. And sometimes for road teams, I mean, I'm surprised that some road teams are favored. You were talking during the break, the Georgia Tech Clemson game. Yeah. That one's in Atlanta, right?
Yes, yes.
And Clemson is favored in that ball game, and I just don't know that I've seen enough from Clemson here in the first couple of ball games to pick them over Haynes King and company. I like Brett Key. I like the job he's done there. Brent Key, the job he has done there at mm-hmm. Georgia Tech. So I sort of like the Yellow Jackets there in that ball game against Clemson.
Yeah, I do too, Bill. I like that coach. I think he's a old school, hard nose, gets the most out of his players. Clemson has probably better athletes on paper, but you know Georgia Tech is going to be tough to beat in Atlanta. It's an 11 a.m. kickoff. What, 12?
Yeah, there's some really interesting early kicks tomorrow.
Yeah, and then so. I don't know.
And our buddy Steve, now Steve says, you know, he's already sent the Clemson Tiger paw.
Yeah.
I mean, well, Clemson better not lose this ball
game. Right, right.
They lose this one, then, yeah, things don't look so rosy for them making it to the playoffs.
Yeah, they got to take care of business tomorrow against a good team, and that'd be a big win for Clemson.
You know, it mentioned some of the games around the SEC. I mean, one that I'm – and I guess this is because the game is at Notre Dame, but Notre Dame is about a touchdown favorite over Texas A&M.
Yeah.
And Notre Dame hasn't played since that disappointing season opening loss to Miami.
Yeah, they have Texas Tech. It's a night game. I'm sorry, Texas A&M. That's an interesting game, too.
This is one. You know, I'm mentioning Clemson would be in trouble. Notre Dame would be in big, big trouble as far as making the playoffs if they lose and drop their second game
in a row.
They don't have teams on their schedule that you would say, man, that's a big win. That's a marquee win.
It's possible the best two games that Notre Dame plays this year, the best two teams they face this year,
are the first two.
Are the first two. USC looks okay. You know, Arkansas could be. We'll see what happens tomorrow before Notre Dame goes to Fayetteville. But you're right. I think that it's fair to wonder if a 10-2 Notre Dame team with losses to Miami and A&M will have the wins that you'll need to make a case for the college football playoff at the end of the season. And at 9-3, it's almost it's difficult to imagine that they'll be able to have the kind of quality wins, especially if they're up against 9-3. You know, 9-3 SEC. Exactly.
Yeah, you know, their schedule, like you said, Dan, Purdue, Boise State, who's already got a big loss. North Carolina State, that the teams just don't jump out. No. Navy. So,
I mean, the USC game's, you know, pretty
big. That's
and
a big one.
And we'll learn more about USC before that game. But, but no, it feels like a it feels like a game that Notre Dame cannot lose if they want a if they want to feel good about their chances of making the college football playoff.
Yeah.
And it's also, you know, they would have failed two early tests.
Yeah, that's
in
right.
a row.
Against college football. I mean, I mean, look, it's a tough way to open the season.
Yeah.
Like at Miami and then a bye week and then home against A&M is a tough draw for the first 3 weeks for a team. But if you're 0-2 after those two games, you know, it's fair to wonder if you've got the stuff to be in. Understanding the Miami game was very close.
Yes.
Like it would be a really tough loss for Notre Dame for a couple of reasons.
Yeah. Worst thing is having that open date after a loss this early in the season. I hated those. You know, play, then you lose, then you got to wait another week, you know, and it's the first game, second game. I don't know why they have a bye that early.
I don't know why you'd want to. I mean, if you went to Hawaii or Ireland or something, you know,
maybe it's because Notre Dame looked at it and went, that's our two toughest games. We need a game. We need a break in between them.
Yeah, maybe. And a lot of teams sort of, they schedule a winnable game in that situation.
Right.
I guess Notre Dame has an expectation of the kind of teams they're going to play. There aren't, FCS teams or I'd be interested to know sort of like the lowest profile team Notre Dame plays this year. They're not really in position to just schedule a patsy.
Right.
So I mean they take a bye week instead.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's Coach, how important, especially early in the year, because Auburn's going to play A&M coming off of A&M's bye week.
Mm-hmm.
So A&M's got a bye week.
That's
in
right.
The next...
A&M's at Notre Dame tomorrow, and then they've got an open date before Auburn goes to College Station.
You know what I never really liked open dates.
Okay.
Especially when you're doing well and you're on a roll and everybody's gelling, everybody's happy, fans, players, coaches. I guess it can help when you have injuries. If you've had a long season, get a bye like, before the Auburn-Alabama game or something like that. But I never really liked them late in the season. Honestly, I didn't like them.
Well, I wonder. I mean, sometimes I think teams that have a loss and then have an open date, sometimes that's almost – it's like that wound is open and festering, and you almost need to get back out there.
Go to work.
And see what you can do
yes.
to take care of and get that out of it so
yes.
that you're not
yes.
thinking about and being reminded about
right.
that loss for two weeks.
For 14 days. Yeah, you're exactly right, Bill. And that's the way I felt.
Uh-huh.
I didn't like them. And I know they're necessary. Because of scheduling, because the season's so long, and the kids do need a little break. But man, if you're rolling, you just don't want to do anything to upset the apple cart.
Yeah, we'll see. And another interesting. Now this one, I'm not going with the upset, but another interesting non-conference game. South Florida for the third straight game. Yep. Has got they're going to be the underdog. I mean, they've already knocked off Boise, dominated Boise. Then they beat Florida last week. Now they go to Miami.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't imagine them having much left when you play three straight games like that.
We didn't like their chances in Gainesville, though.
You're right.
I understand what you're saying, and it's accurate. But this is also a team that we've been underestimating all season. They were an underdog to Boise.
They knock off Miami. I think you can just about pencil them in as the group of five teams.
Yeah, and that coach will be getting a big-time job.
Oh, yeah. He's
already.
If they get blown out this Saturday, he's still going to be
a name. No doubt.
No,
that's an interesting game.
And that's a tough – that's not the easiest, like, campus to recruit to. It's not I mean, it's a cool city, mm-hmm. but, like, it's a relatively new Division I program in their own right. They play in the NFL.
It's another good sized as far as enrollment.
But a lot of that's commuter stuff.
Right.
Like, it's similar to Georgia
State.
It's
not on campus
right.
so much.
In that regard. And Georgia State has their own stadium. They've retrofitted the former Turner Field out there at the old Braves Stadium. I think South Florida still plays at the Bucks. And they still play Raymond James, so like they're still, it's
and Miami Stadium so far away from campus.
Yeah,
I think this will be a big crowd though, that
Oh, sure. There's in that area. There seems to be excitement. And,
yeah. That's you're right, Bill. That's an interesting game too. Now,
yeah. Let's see. Let's look at the rest of the schedule. I mean,
that's the only non-SEC. I mean, I think you have two ranked matchups this week. You would have had three if Florida had held their way.
Right.
I guess South Florida wouldn't be ranked.
You're right. South Florida wouldn't be. But there would have only been a couple outside the SEC. I'm just looking at the rest of USF's schedule. They get to return home for their first home game against South Carolina State. Then they've got Charlotte. Then they're at North Texas. Then they're home against FAU.
This is South Florida's schedule?
This is South Florida's schedule.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those are all pretty darn winnable.
No, I think South Florida, Tulane, and Memphis, to me, feel like it's a safe bet that one of them is going to win that conference and crash the party.
Right. South Florida goes to Memphis, by the way.
Right, and they've got – do they have Tulane?
They do not.
They don't have Tulane. Okay, so that
they've
would be
– UTSA, Navy, UAB, and Rice. And that's how they close out the year.
I believe that conference plays a championship game, so if maybe South Florida and Tulane would have to collide in the American conference championship game later in the season if those two teams were on that kind of collision course, because that's the other team I think people look at as the potential party crasher in the group of five. The team I would look out for, and maybe this is a sneaky game that lost some luster because of the events of last weekend. Texas State's joining the Pac-12. They're going to Arizona State this weekend.
Wow.
That's between Arizona State's Mississippi State trip and I believe they get Baylor next week in Big 12
Arizona
play.
Arizona State's already lost at Mississippi State.
And Arizona State didn't look great in the opener against an FCS team. I think that's a Texas State team. G.J. Kinney's he's like a young leech coach. He's out there. He's Texas Texas spread offense.
Yep.
They're a fun team. They're an air raid. Yeah. They're an air raid team that's fun to watch. Mm-hmm. And I think that game could be that's under the radar, but that game could be interesting.
All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break again. Remember, if you'd like to be in the drawing for a pair of tickets for tomorrow's Auburn-USA game, Auburn-South Alabama game at 11:45. You can just give us a call. We'd love to talk with you on the air, but you don't have to. But you can just let Dan know that you'd like to be in the drawing. We'll need your contact information. But we'd love to hear from you and talk with you, get your thoughts on some of the ball games going on around the country. And, of course, the Auburn-South Alabama game as we continue here with the Friday Drive.
Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Friday Drive. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. Love for you to join in. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we were talking earlier in the show about cold starts, and that's something Hugh Freeze was specifically citing this week. That's something that that I think has been a problem for Auburn in some of the big upset losses that you have early.
I think
you can
look at most teams when they have those shocking losses. They look like they're barely going through the motions when they get out there. And that's one of the things we were talking about, Don.
Yep.
Trying to have your guys, motivated there from the start, because it's tough. People go, well, why don't you just, why don't you just turn it on? It's hard to just flip the switch just going through the motions to all of a sudden having that emotion and going full tilt.
Yeah, you're exactly right. The one good thing, we've been practicing in the morning some. I think that helps, the morning practices where you don't – if you practice every afternoon, say at 3:30,
right,
then you jump into 11 o'clock kick. It's different, I'm just telling you, and they're college kids.
Auburn's been practicing in the mornings
now. Yes, that's helpful.
Since classes have started.
That's helpful. I really believe that. Because they've been used to getting up and going out there and having to jump start right there, get going.
I mean, the coaches aren't they're not going to let everybody, just take their time, yawn. You're not kicking back, having your coffee.
No, because they've been in there since probably 5, drinking coffee.
At 9 o'clock when you're getting started.
Yeah. So the early morning practices will help us with the early morning start.
Are some of these coaches, like, going to football games tonight and watching some? With an early game on Saturday, is that something that maybe?
Maybe locally.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what his philosophy is. But normally when we had a real early game, we didn't go other probably locally, drive, hour, that's, 2 hours.
You send the lackeys for that when you send the send
well,
to go?
You've got so many more staff.
Yeah, yeah you send anybody
so
now.
More staff that you could use doing that. 334-321-1390, and let's get to the drive hotline.
We've got Scott hanging on. What's up, bud?
Yes, I'd like to know what you guys think about the Tennessee-Georgia game.
That's one, it sure feels like this should be a great opportunity for Tennessee. Georgia has not looked, they haven't looked great offensively. I mean, they really haven't.
But I want to be really careful with anything we got from those first two Georgia games.
I agree, because it's been games, they knew that they could just, walk out there on the field and they're going to win.
It feels like a tremendous test for Gunnar Stockton going on the road. Coach, when we talk about a guy making career road start number one, that's a big stress test for a guy. It's a huge test for Aguilar. Mm-hmm. I mean, going against a defense like Georgia, as great as that story is and as much as people seem to have rallied.
He's been fabulous the first couple of ball games. And I've said, and I think I picked Tennessee earlier this week, but it's, again, the closer it gets, the harder it is. I just look at that Georgia roster, and it is full. It is loaded with 4- and 5-star players. And Kirby Smart Georgia's on an 8-game winning streak against Tennessee. Josh Heupel has never beaten Kirby. So there's a lot of, a lot of emotion placed there. The Neyland Stadium's going to be going crazy.
You don't
tomorrow.
Sound like a guy who's picked Tennessee right
I know.
Now.
I mean, I picked Tennessee, but it's hard, wasn't it hard to go against Georgia until they prove that they can't do it.
I was going to say, wasn't Tennessee one of your star picks yesterday on the Duck Show?
They were, but I mean, as bad as I've done picking, people that think Tennessee has more talent than Georgia, I don't buy that.
Oh, no, I think that's a misconception. I do think that finding out what Gunnar Stockton is made of on the road, is going to be important. And I think
what Joey Aguilar can do against the talent that Georgia throws at them is going to be a whole lot better than what he's seen in either Syracuse or East Tennessee.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yes, I was just curious. I know you guys don't gamble, but there was such a line drop from when it first came out.
There have been a couple really interesting movements this week. I was just telling the guys during the commercial break, and it's like you want to be careful about reading too much into this, but the fact that Ole Miss went from 9 to 6 in a couple of days is really interesting too, and suggests a lot of Arkansas action, so moving that line potentially, but no, I think it's a this one feels Georgia Arkansas feels
Tennessee.
Or I'm sorry, Georgia Tennessee feels really really difficult to call because there are reasons to like Tennessee, but betting against Georgia has been
historically over the last few years it's not very wise.
Yeah, betting against Kirby is not been a smart play in conference.
Yeah, and it helps I think Georgia that it's an afternoon game instead of a night game in Neyland.
Right. So, all right, well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Hey, appreciate the call, Scott. 334-321-1390.
Although Bill can attest that when Neyland, I've always thought that 2:30 you still get stadiums at full throttle.
Oh, yeah.
11 noon, it can be a mixed bag.
It's not the full night, that mm-hmm. night experience, mm-hmm. but it's much better. I mean, once you get to that 2:30 window, I think your home field advantage should be in full swing.
The Vol Navy will be fully lubricated by then.
They'll be ready.
Yeah, I think that's going to
be a little moonshine flowing.
And I've said it all week, Coach. With at Tennessee, home against Alabama, and at Auburn, very soon on the Georgia calendar.
Mm-hmm.
If they're undefeated when they leave Auburn, they're probably the best team in the country. It's right there. I mean, they're right there with Ohio State. If you run that gauntlet,
yeah,
you beat Tennessee at home on Saturday, you beat Alabama at home in a week, and you go to Auburn at night and beat this Auburn team at Jordan-Hare in what's going to be, unless there's a collapse the next couple of weeks,
yeah,
one would think it's a full-throttle sort of Auburn experience that night. If Georgia can navigate that without a loss, I mean, look, Ohio State's Ohio State. And, yeah, and if you want to say they're the best team in the country until somebody beats them, like, that's fair. LSU looks very good. Georgia
could. Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. You got a funny feeling about that game tomorrow.
I do. I don't know why. I think Florida plays them closer than, what was it, last time I looked, it was around 9.
Yeah, I just.
I think Florida plays them closer just because, well, let's put it this way. If they don't play them closer, then that's not good for Billy Napier. So I would think that Florida, you know, they've got to sort of rally the troops, and they're playing for Billy Napier's job.
I'm like you, Bill. I've thought all week about that game. I just see Florida playing it so much better.
I mean, LSU should have everything going for them. Yes. Florida beat them last year, knocked them out of the playoffs.
Night game.
I mean, it sort of saved Billy Napier's job a year ago.
Right.
And now LSU's got them coming in to Death Valley.
At night.
I mean, you would think, especially Florida coming off that loss to South Florida, you'd think, yeah, LSU, this is their opportunity to just bury them.
Yeah.
Oh, but something just doesn't feel right.
No, now. And I do think it feels like an opportunity for LSU to bury Florida. We'll see if Florida can bounce back from, you know, because maybe it was a bad game.
Yeah.
By Florida against USF.
It was a bad game.
But you know what I mean?
Like maybe just, yeah, just a...
like a blip. Like, yes, like an off game. Maybe it was an off night for Florida. And
there
were
some decisions made.
Yeah.
And I hate to criticize coaches, but, man, I just don't understand some of the clock management and then that knucklehead spitting on a kid.
Oh, yeah,
and he'd still be running. Of course, he'd be in a portal, I'm sure.
It's just so weird to see Florida as kind of... As pedestrian and not cutting edge offensively.
Well, they have been for, I mean, you know, it's, know. I'm sure, you know, Florida people have been saying that about Auburn.
I know.
For the last few years. Like, man, it's so strange to see Auburn just, you know, not being a factor really at all.
I know.
Neither has Florida.
Yeah, neither has Florida. Right. I mean, they've had ups and downs, but more, you know, I think more downs than folks thought Billy was going to experience in his first 40 games.
Now, who threw his shoe in the fog? Was that a Florida guy?
That was an LSU guy that gave Florida the opening.
Okay,
right.
I
think that's right, isn't it?
I can't remember. It was a fog. It was a delayed game. Remember, it was in late. It was like in December.
Did Florida? That's a great trivia question, Coach.
Yeah, I can't tell.
Maybe Florida. I'm trying.
Somebody threw
one of them was really good that
year. Yeah, I remember.
I'm thinking it was in December.
I'm thinking LSU was ordinary that year and Florida was good.
Why were they playing in December?
Because of 2020. They'd messed with the schedule, right?
Oh,
and so I'm thinking Florida was good in 2020. And then I don't know, do we remember yet? Have we looked up who threw the shoe in the
I don't know.
You still can't find it, Bill?
No, I don't see
what
it.
What did you search?
I was just looking at Florida's overall record since Urban. That's what I was looking at.
Yeah.
Okay. Florida quarterback threw an LSU player's shoe in the December 2020 matchup between these two teams.
So it was COVID.
All right. Florida since Urban has won 86 ball games and lost 71.
Wow.
I mean, so they are
they don't scare
under
anybody.
55% winning percentage. Since 2010.
Wow.
That's how pedestrian, average. As a matter, I mean, look, Will Muschamp goes 28-21. Jim McElwain was 22-12. Dan Mullen was 34-15. That's the best winning percentage that Florida has had since Urban. Actually, no, the best winning percentage? DJ Durkin.
I was going to say, we're not going to count.
DJ Durkin was 1-0. But, I mean, 80 to go – 86 and, like, what did I say, 86 or 87 and 71?
Yes.
That is.
I mean, Mullen, I think that, you know, the belief was that even though the win loss, it's almost like a Malzahn situation where they wanted to cut it off at the pass before things really started. You know, they saw the roster starting to shift in the wrong direction and Mullen start to lose the locker room. I think before that win loss record was going to get substantially worse. But still, even noting that, the Billy Napier win-loss record is...
Napier is 19 and 19.
He's under pressure.
Well, he's 20 and 20.
He's 20 and 20 and 20.
20 and 20. Actually,
just like hindsight.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, that's right. All right. We need to get to our final break of hour number one. We've got calls holding.
That's right.
We will be right back here on the Friday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
ESPN 106.7.
Welcome back into the Friday Drive. Let's jump right to the phones. And John is up first. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. I was just had a couple quick points. You're talking about that 2020 LSU in Florida, and y'all have it right. LSU was very good. That was coming off Joe Burrow. They were expected to be good. They were terrible. That was the SEC only year. And if y'all remember KJ Costello at Mississippi State, that's who LSU played in the opener that year, and Costello just ripped them apart. And by the time that game played, that was Florida had the quarterback. I can't remember his name. Will Greer.
Yep.
And that was Florida was favored by, I want to say, two touchdowns.
Auburn dismantled that LSU team on Halloween in 2020. That's the 48-11 Auburn victory a year after playing them really close in Baton Rouge. And then Auburn, of course, wins in Baton Rouge a year later, and that's the end of Ed Orgeron.
Right. And then the other point I was going to say, I think I saw these stats, and I haven't heard it anywhere in Auburn. I just wanted to see. I heard that Auburn is, in 2025, defense number one in rush yards allowed per game, number one nationally in that, number one nationally in sacks, and I think third nationally in third down percentage. And that's those are huge upgrades from last year. I know it's small sample size, mm-hmm. but if those continue to be top 10, Auburn's going to have a very good year if the offense continues at this pace.
Yeah, now Baylor is really good offensively. So, I mean, especially passing. So that's good. Ball State is bad. I mean, they are just bad. So, I mean, that it'll be a few more ball games. Let's get into SEC play and see, but it is a really good start. Auburn has upgraded defensively, and they have played better defensively. They have really been tough to run on. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, I would expect Auburn to make it tough for South Alabama to run tomorrow as well.
Yeah, Auburn has 10 sacks through two games. Right. They are one of three teams in the bowl subdivision, along with Louisville and UTEP, with 10 sacks through two games. Kansas has 10 sacks as well, but they've played three games this year. And I'm efforting the rushing. The rushing.
Well, I know that I've seen that in print that Auburn is leading the nation in rush defense.
And I believe
they're near the top in rush offense.
And I believe Major Applewhite made that point at his at his press conference as well, that Auburn is number one in both of those categories.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate the call, John. 334-321-1390. And Brian is up next. Hey, Brian.
Hey, bud.
Hey, guys. I actually wasn't calling in because I had anything. I was yelling at the radio, chuckling, listening to you all going, it was Florida, Florida, through the chute. Because, I'm down here in the hotbed amongst all the Gators and the Hurricanes and the Seminoles. I remember after that game, using the old Austin Powers line, walking in to see these Florida Gators in my office saying, really? Who throws a shoe?
Yeah, but Gators fans right now are a little harder to find.
They're throwing everything.
Yeah.
They're throwing everything right now after that loss. Because to me, and I made this point earlier in the week, Brian, that it, like, yes, Florida's schedule is grueling. The next 10 games are going to be tough. But that's got nothing to do with scoring 16 points at home against South Florida. If Auburn scores 16 on Saturday, yes, the schedule's tough, but you're real worried about what kind of firepower, what kind of artillery you're bringing into battle.
I will tell you, I had two locks this season that if I would have bet the house, I'd be living on a beach. Well, I'm sort of on the beach, but
a nicer beach.
Alabama, Florida, Florida State. I knew they weren't going to cover that. Again, I thought they would win, but I thought that point spread was way too big. And Florida USF, again, that point spread was way too big. And I took both those games, didn't bet enough on them. But but that those were two that I really had strong feelings on. But again, thought that Florida and Alabama would win the games ultimately, but those.
Yeah,
well, you're two for two. What do you think of South?
Yeah, you got any this week?
Yeah, what do you think of South Florida, Miami? There's a Kreskin. What are we talking to here, Bill?
I think the luck runs out for South Florida this week. I think Zach and Miami are too strong. I don't see. The spread wise, I don't know. I don't have that game on my sheet this week, so I don't know. Spread bothers me on that game. 17.5 is what I saw.
Yeah, something like that. I mean,
I wanted to get your all's opinion on Alabama and Wisconsin because that's 20.5.
That's a lot. It is a lot, but this is, this just doesn't seem to be a very good Wisconsin team.
I don't know
how good they are in the trenches.
Yeah, I don't know a ton about Wisconsin. I don't want to get suckered into just thinking, well, it's Alabama, so they're going to cover and be a lot better than the opponent. That was the thinking.
It doesn't feel like those Wisconsin teams that had such, you know, powerful offensive lines and big and running backs.
Last time we saw Alabama, it was against a major conference opponent. It was that Florida State game. Want to see how much has changed a couple of weeks later against Wisconsin? How people point to ULM. Auburn,
Wisconsin, and the points in Doug's thing. But
Auburn seemingly fixed a lot between Cal and Arkansas last year. Then you saw them against a major conference team.
That's right.
Wait a minute.
Great hearing from you, Brian.
Yeah. Great, thanks, guys. Just hit me up later with whoever wins.
Will do.
Appreciate it.
We got a bunch of folks that want them. Again, if you'd like to get in the drawing for, Brian's giving away the tickets for tomorrow's Auburn-South Alabama game.
Brian stepped on a live wire there at the end of that call.
Let's hope he's okay, man. All right, we're halfway done. Music's playing. We've got to get to our top of the hour break. Back with hour number two of the Friday Drive. Welcome into hour number two of the Friday Drive. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn here in the studio, and we'd love for you to join in. We're giving you a chance to win, courtesy of our good friend Brian, who we actually talked with down in Florida. Brian's got a pair of tickets for the Auburn-South Alabama game tomorrow that we will draw a winner from.
How about
at the end of the show?
I'm thinking bottom of the hour.
That'd be good.
5:30 or so as we're going to commercial at bottom
of the
hour.
That'll make sure we get them in touch with each other. So you've got a half an hour or so to get into the drawing for a pair of Auburn-South Alabama tickets. Now, Dan was just mentioning something that I guess Auburn has tweeted out that Auburn fans, you asked and we've listened. I'll tell you one thing. We mentioned the new big scoreboard in the North End, and it was, let me say, it was great from our vantage point in the press box to be able to see that, because at times when the ball is on the north end of the field, you have a little difficulty in seeing exactly what happened in a play. But we mentioned this on Monday.
Bill mentioned it during the game a couple times, sitting next to him.
Because I'm like, where's the ball and how many yards does it need to go? Because when the ball gets down like around the 30-yard line, getting toward the red zone on the north end, it's tough to tell exactly where the ball is and how many yards you have to go. You have to then try to find the yard line markers and then just try to figure where it is. And it was up there. But it is not prominent. I mean, I will say on that old scoreboard that people made fun of, it was easy to see ball on.
Down and distance.
And the ball on. Yeah. So you'd know where the ball was. Yeah, you'd know the spot, and you'd know the down and the distance.
Spot, down, and distance. And
I don't even know that it said where the ball was on the scoreboard this past week.
I think it's part of that small text on the right.
Upper right corner.
The upper right corner.
I needed binoculars to be able to try to see that.
No, I would say that's my one note about the new screen and the new scoreboard. I love the presentation.
Oh yeah.
I think maybe the trivia on the left, they could sort of pick and choose when to deploy that instead of having it all game long. And I do think they need to have I think spot, down, and distance need to be as prominent as
to a football fan in the stadium.
Prominent as you can make it on that without disrupting all the other stuff they need to do.
So they say it's going to be on the ribbons,
Yes, down and they the yeah, there deck. Was there was an announcement on social media today that down and distance will be and I believe spot two will be on the on the ribbons on the sides near the closed captioning.
It's like people care, but I keep sort of a play by play. I keep a drive chart, and it's tough enough watching. You know, sort of seeing, noting what's going on. If I have to then look to the side of the stadium to see, you know, the
down and distance. Even when I was coaching, Bill, every once in a while, you don't know the down and distance. As a coach, you glance up
there. That's
right. You don't want to rely on that.
That can be really tough. But,
you know, especially
you're on the
if the chain's on the same side.
Look at him. I mean, where is it on that big board?
Yeah,
really. All right. So anyway, we'd love to hear from you. You don't have to get into that. That's just some thoughts from us. But a lot of fun ball games on tap this weekend, including the Auburn homecoming matchup against South Alabama.
Early homecoming.
And I want to get to Pat, too, who's hanging on. But I want to add because of the criticism we just offered, so much of the game day experience is top notch.
And the
video going.
They really worked at it.
I mean, the video the video of the third and fourth quarter that they've put out. Just makes Jordan-Hare seem like a second to none experience. And that was in a week where a lot of teams playing Ball State level competition are wondering where their fans are. Teams ranked ahead of Auburn.
Oh yes.
You know, with a lot of tradition in their own right, are wondering where the fans are or why so many fans offered to stay home.
Auburn has really worked at trying to, you know, have something to keep the fans engaged, to get them out and keep them there.
It's an incredible thing in any era, but I think in an era where, you know, some fans are looking at their couch and they're their DoorDash and
they're
deciding maybe not to make the effort to go out there. Auburn's making it worthwhile to come watch the game in person.
No doubt.
334-321-1390. Love to hear from you. What would you like to see tomorrow? What do you think you'll see tomorrow? Anything on your mind? And let's get back to the phones.
Pat is hanging on. What's up, buddy?
Hey guys, I want to talk about this jersey situation. Okay, so I'm not sure I understand the concept while we're doing it, but I guess my question is, I'm reading this NCAA college football uniform color rules, and it says, general guidelines, players on opposing teams must wear jerseys of contrasting colors. The visiting team typically wears white jerseys. Mm. The home team may also wear white jerseys if both teams agree in writing before the season. And it says, if the home team opts for colored jerseys, the visiting team can wear colored jerseys only if the home team has agreed in writing and the jerseys are of sufficient contrast to avoid confusion. So you're saying that the jerseys have to contrast, but if the home team may also wear white jerseys, how do you contrast two people wearing white jerseys?
Oh, no. If the home team wears white, then the road team would then wear their colored jerseys. You're not going to be able to wear white. It has to be their normal home jerseys, which wouldn't be white.
And there is a five. I've seen a 5-yard penalty. There was a UCLA USC game where they both agreed to wear colored jerseys because they thought there was enough contrast between the colored jerseys. And I think that's what that means, Pat.
Right.
You
don't want to have a red and an orange or something like or different shades of blue.
Because your question is a good one. Like, you probably can't have enough contrast if both teams are wearing white jerseys. You can have enough contrast if both teams are wearing colored jerseys. It's just they need to be.
They need to be like one's red and one's blue,
like the UCLA, like UCLA USC.
Okay, so the problem is the wording. It says the home team may also wear white. That's not what it should say.
It should say the home team may wear white if the
could choose. The home team could choose could to
choose,
be the
could choose to wear white.
Can choose
if
to be
both teams agreed, and the other team would have to wear.
And the word that needs to be the word that probably needs to be in there is exclusively too. Like the team, like one team needs to be exclusively the team in white.
Wear white while the other team's wearing white. No.
Yeah, because I was like, there's no way.
You're right. You're right. The grammar police.
But the NCAA rule is an important one there, because that's when we've talked about LSU, and in the past LSU would play non-conference games where the opposing team would elect to wear white jerseys, even though LSU usually wears white jerseys at home.
LSU usually made sure of that beforehand when they're making contracts with teams. They would say, "Here's what we want." And they'd pay him a little extra if that wasn't an immediate yes from that opponent. So that's the thing you have to keep in mind.
You think the reason that we're doing it is to get ready for next week?
No, I don't think so. I think the reason to do it is because I think the thought was, hey, it would be cool to do that while the crowd is wearing white for a whiteout. Plus, it's an 11:45 start, and white jerseys should be cooler than colored jerseys for the middle of the day.
Okay, I just think our blue is like the prettiest jersey. So I just anytime we got a chance to wear them,
There are a lot of people that love that Stormtrooper look, though. So I mean, it's just an opportunity to do that. And you know, it's funny because we had some people saying, "Well, why not wait for a big game to do that?" Well, you do that in a big game and you lose, then you're not going to have that same feeling about that look.
Now, I wouldn't hate breaking it out for a big game, but I also understand why using it right now makes some sense too. Like I thought that, you know, I was always looking at those rules and thinking, well, maybe it'd be easier to force a conference opponent to be the team that, you know, that wears the home jersey while you wear white. But if you work it out with South Alabama and everybody's on board, like we said, you know, it could have been a business deal. It could have been a call between Hugh Freeze and Major Applewhite
Hugh Freeze said he didn't know anything about it yesterday.
Well,
he didn't know anything about it until he heard about it on social media.
Probably wasn't a call from Hugh Freeze then if he found out on Twitter about it. But
well, you would think he would want the coach to do what he thinks is best for his team.
Yeah,
to win.
I don't think that Hugh Freeze or any of the coaches are worried about wearing the
I'll tell
the
you what, but you know, tomorrow. But you know what though, the thought that Auburn's going to play in white right before Oklahoma, where they're playing in white, is an interesting observation, Pat. And I did. I mean, noticing that, I think it was Tuesday, like Auburn's offense was practicing in white, which seemed unusual knowing that they were going to play, you know, in the dark jerseys on Saturday, and then a couple, you know, I think a day later we learn, no, actually the, you know, Auburn's going to be wearing the white jerseys on Saturday. It's like, oh, okay, so they were getting.
I thought I heard somebody or somewhere a comment was made that our quarterback, that Jackson Arnold has trouble with the white, so he wanted to wear them. He wanted to wear them. That's what I thought.
Well, I think it would make it generally the offense practices in the color that the team is going to wear on Saturday.
Yes.
And so so it was unusual on like so we were thinking, oh, well, Auburn's wearing blue jerseys on Saturday. Why is the offense in white on Tuesday? But it turns out that's why the offense was wearing it. Hugh Freeze did know.
He did, but he didn't make the decision. He said he didn't know it was going to be done until it's like, oh,
he found it,
so we better wear white in practice.
It sounds like he was told.
Yeah,
it could be that he was practicing for Oklahoma, getting ready for Oklahoma.
Sure.
So that could be what it was. And then he found out that we did it this week. So that's fine. I'm not trying to question him as much as my brain thinks like that. I always think of.
I've always thought it's funny that teams do whiteouts and they don't wear white. I think if you're going to do a whiteout, it's cool to go ahead and have the team involved. Yeah. Sort of like when Georgia did that blackout.
Yeah.
Yeah, they came out in those, they, you know, went back in and came back out in those black jerseys.
Yep.
Yeah, that's crazy. All right, guys. Well, you go. Hopefully we do good this weekend.
Appreciate it, Pat.
See you, bud.
334-321-1390.
Yeah, I think it's you know, like the sort of the little preparations that go into stuff like that. I don't know if I'm ready to buy into. Oh, there's quarterbacks that play better in the dark jersey.
Well, I mean,
we had
that question yesterday about, well, it's something that was written that was Penn State.
No,
I guess Tech, because Penn State said the first time they did it, they had trouble picking out their players in the white jerseys.
And we pointed out there was a quarterback playing at Penn State that seemed to have a problem picking out his players no matter what color the jerseys were. But
that's what he said after the game.
And there are some pitchers who are very particular about what jersey and what color they want their team wearing. I don't know how much of it has to do with, like, picking up the ball or any of that stuff. But, I mean, there are some guys who it's just for – and Tom Brady, you know, Justin Ferguson was mentioning, like, Tom Brady was very particular about – especially early in the season when the Bucs were at home, he saw a strategic advantage in wearing the white jerseys. He thought if we're going to be playing, you know, a noon.
Well, that's what I was saying about tomorrow. I mean, when you're playing in the South and in the heat of the day, it makes sense not to be wearing dark colors.
And that's why you know, as much as I like John Sumrall and as good as he's been to me personally when we were doing Troy stuff together, I thought that the thing a couple of weeks ago, I understood why the Northwestern wouldn't volunteer to wear purple jerseys
in New Orleans.
Coming to New Orleans? Are you kidding?
August 29th. Ooh. And everybody was like, oh, you know, they should have let New Orleans. And I know they wanted to do a Katrina tribute. And I know there was some sentiment involved. But it was like they were really mad that Northwestern didn't volunteer to
come
wear
on down to the swamp and wear it dark.
It's like I would have been pretty insistent. I think you too, Bill. Like,
yeah,
you would have been pretty insistent. No, I think we're going to elect to wear the white jerseys unless there's a rule or a contract or something saying otherwise. And in the case of Auburn, South Alabama, like that's why I wonder if it feels like it probably had to be transactional, right? Oh, yeah, where it's like sure. I think South Alabama probably didn't just volunteer. For this, I think Auburn made it worth their while.
All right, we'll get to our first break of hour number two. Love for you to join in. Again, you can get into a drawing for a pair of Auburn South Alabama tickets that we'll give away following our bottom of the hour break.
Got quite a few folks in the drawing, including several callers who are electing not to go on the air. So
and we'd also like your thoughts on any upsets this weekend.
Is there a position group in particular you're looking out for tomorrow, Bill? Is there?
I think it's receiver time.
Okay. Anyone?
I think South's got to try to stop Auburn's running game,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's going to free up some one-on-one opportunities. I would think Cam's going to get a chance to stretch the field a little bit. I'm looking for. I think any of them. There are multiple players at receiver. I think that. That will have an opportunity tomorrow.
Would love to see Cam get going is the wrong phrasing. He had seven or eight catches.
He had
seven catches last week, and he's getting better by the game. Singleton's the real deal, Coach. Like he is. Through two games, this guy is. He's
special.
He's everything you'd want at that position.
I wonder if South's going to wear their navy or red jersey.
That's a question we wondered about on the Observer podcast is which choice, because South
I like
has,
their
they
navy.
Have both.
I like their navy uniforms, but they could opt for the red if they'd like.
They had a really cool helmet that they've used a couple of helmets in their time as a football program. They had one with the battleship on it, like the mobile skyline with the battleship. They've had some cool looks. But I would think maybe you break out the reds just to create a little contrast with because you figure maybe some Auburn blue will be scattered about, but who knows?
The Reds don't seem to just be as – there's not as much trim on them usually as on their blue, but whatever. I mean, it's up to them. We'll see. All right, we'll get to our first break of the second hour. Plenty of time for you to join in here on The Friday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck. Hey, this is Christian Griffin, voice of your 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Friday Drive, 21 minutes after 5 o'clock. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. Let's look at some of these ball games. We've talked about quite a few of them. And we mentioned the Georgia Tech Clemson game, the South Florida Miami game, but the SEC's got some really interesting ball games coming up tomorrow.
I want to start in Oxford. I want to start with that Arkansas Ole Miss game because I think I have no idea what to make of Ole Miss through a couple of weeks.
No, I mean
I have even less of an idea what to make of Arkansas through a couple of weeks. But I mean, Coach, you're talking about Paul Petrino.
Yeah.
His brother's pretty good offensive coordinator too, Bobby. And Bobby's going to have a team ready to go.
Yeah,
Ole Miss. There's pressure to improve on what you did last week, even though you won on the road.
Ugly win, but a win's a win. That was tough because they've struggled with Kentucky for some reason.
And Kentucky just does not have much.
No,
offense.
They're not very good.
You would
good.
Think, yeah, Bobby with Taylen Green. I mean, another athletic quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Simmons, the Ole Miss quarterback, has been turnover prone here the first couple of ball games. And I mean, if he does something like that, Ole Miss, get themselves in a hole. Yeah, I sort of like Arkansas and the points that we had at the start of the week.
Would an Ole Miss tattooing of Arkansas shock y'all that much?
No, it wouldn't, because that's what I expected preseason.
I was going to say, a couple of weeks ago, if I'd asked you how Arkansas at Ole Miss is going to go, you might have thought Arkansas is in big trouble. you know, there's pressure on that Arkansas offense to play keep away, and there's pressure on that Ole Miss offense to show that they're as explosive as they looked in week one against Georgia State, because it's gotten tougher, the competition's gotten better, and they haven't necessarily showcased that same explosiveness.
Yeah, I mean, of course, it very well could just be a situation where the Ole Miss players, even though they lost to Kentucky last year, were thinking, hey, this isn't a very good Kentucky team, and they took them for granted, went in there and sort of went through the motions, got the win. But they got the win. That's the most important thing.
Right.
This could be one of those situations where, all right, that got their attention, Lane's getting their attention, they come back, and they really play well. So, no, it wouldn't shock me if Ole Miss ran away in this ball game, but then it wouldn't stun me if Arkansas won.
No, Sam Pittman's won a couple games.
Like, yes, he has.
I mean, Sam Pittman at Jordan-Hare Stadium last year
mm-hmm.
won a game
yep.
that kind of smelled like this one, mm-hmm. And so I think and Coach, it's tough to be impartial because I know you think Travis is pretty good football coach,
yeah.
Defense coordinator yeah. over there at Arkansas.
Yeah,
too.
Like him, Bobby's the best.
And one I of like, the best play callers.
Yeah, and I like Sam. I really like him.
I think that's a dangerous little team to play early
yeah.
in the season.
And, you know, Oxford's a tough place to play because it's so daggone hard to get there. And I'm sure it's changed, but in the old days you had to stay in either Tupelo or Memphis and then travel over there. You had to fly into Memphis. So
we were talking about the Vol Navy being properly lubricated for the 2:30 game.
The Grove will be rocking.
I wonder if 6 o'clock, maybe it's too late for
them. Yeah,
the
some of them won't make it.
And see, the thing is, I think a lot of the confidence from, hey, Arkansas's looked really good, but who have they played?
Yes.
They've beaten Alabama, A&M, and Arkansas State.
We know nothing. We know nothing about Arkansas.
Yeah.
Right.
Another team.
Right. Both teams, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Ole Miss
does have a road victory, but it's against one of the weaker teams, yeah. I think, in the SEC yeah. in Kentucky.
You know, when we were there, Dan, Coach Tubb would go on a show and people, please leave the Grove and come to the game. They'd stay in the Grove, and I don't blame them. I mean, I've seen everything out there from chandeliers to diamond rings to everything.
I think it'll be on full display tomorrow. yeah. But they'd love to keep the winning going. That's an interesting one. And yeah, just no clue how that's going to shake out.
I still feel Ole Miss wins. I just don't know. I wonder why the line has dropped as much as it has.
There was some Austin Simmons.
Ought to win.
There was some Austin Simmons injury concern earlier this week. He is not on the most recent injury report released by Ole Miss. So, I mean,
yeah,
one would think that he's
he should be
good to go, but we'll see.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting game, too.
Yeah, that one is.
It's some good games.
I mean, we can look. There are a couple. I mean, who cares about Kentucky and Eastern Michigan?
Nobody.
Mississippi
Eastern
State.
Michigan's the team that went for it on fourth down at their own fourth.
Oh, God.
That's the team. Coach. Who
Kentucky's got.
So, Coach, Long Island, the team that Florida beat in week one,
right.
They got a win over a MAC team. They're an FCS team.
Yeah.
They got a win over a MAC team last week.
I did not see that.
Went to Eastern Michigan. This game is 14-10 Long Island.
Okay.
About a minute into the fourth quarter. Eastern Michigan goes for it, fourth and one at their own 14.
What does the guy still
didn't
there?
Get it? No, and
didn't,
they lost.
Didn't
yeah.
get it.
Is
didn't
he
get,
still coaching?
He's still coaching, but Coach, I mean, I'm wondering what the meeting
their own 14 yard line.
Their own 14.
I would have I'd have punted it. They'd have kicked me off the team.
I mean, you've only given them 14. Now, yeah. I mean,
you'd have run out there and punted it yourself.
Maybe if it's 44-40, and you know you can't stop them. Maybe then you'd
14.
Go for it. When you've only given
up
14 points in a game.
I mean, it's Eastern Michigan against Long Island, right?
Yeah. But I usually look at all them little scores.
14-10, and they go for it. They don't get it. Long Island scores on the next play to make it an 11, yeah. 11-point game.
I didn't even know Long Island. I never heard of Long Island.
The Sharks, I mean, they get crushed by Florida in week one, and they bounce back. And that's who Kentucky's got tomorrow.
Mississippi State will be 3-0. They've got Alcorn State.
Big win last week for them.
Mississippi State's got a couple of winnable games before Tennessee comes to town.
Northern Illinois is the game next week. Watch out there, though.
Yeah,
but it could be a 4-0 state team welcoming Tennessee hosting to Starkville. Tennessee.
Bill, you'll get a kick out of this. I got a text. I text Paul Rhodes. You know, he's an analyst at Mississippi State after the win, and he texted me back and said, "Boy, I'm 2-0 here, counting our 3-2 win."
Oh man, Missouri.
I love Rhodey.
Missouri, yeah.
ride the bike.
Good guy.
Missouri's going to go 3-0. They've got Louisiana.
Yeah.
They've got South Carolina next week.
They do. Columbia. But I mean, but they'll be 3-0.
Yeah.
The Oklahoma, you asked this. Why is Oklahoma traveling to Temple?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, somebody must have lost the card game.
That must be.
That could be the second mention of a Big Five here in a show. That's a first.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
Especially during football.
Who's the other one? LaSalle.
11
o'clock. All five big schools. All five Big Five schools mentioned. LaSalle's the other one. You know, maybe it's a Jalen Hurts thing. You know, Jalen Hurts is he was in Oklahoma for a year. Now he's in Philly. Maybe it's a game just for maybe they're big Abbott Elementary guys.
He bought the buyout, probably.
and then the other one that we won't spend any time on.
Will Smith put it together?
Texas hosting UTEP.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah. Now when do things get interesting again for Texas?
Well, they got Sam Houston next week, so it ain't then.
Well, no.
Then they've got an open date. Then they go to Florida.
Oh.
I would guess maybe the old what is it called now?
Oklahoma. We're going to the state fair.
Yeah. Whatever.
The rivalry.
Whatever it's called now.
The Red River Roundup.
Rivalry.
I'll tell you what. Red River rivalry is hard to say.
It is.
You know, it's a lot of R's in it.
Red River rivalry.
Especially if you've been tailgating.
I kind of like the Texas State Fair. Yeah, I think you just
what's the guy waving? I've been there.
Oh, big Tex,
yeah,
right?
Big Tex,
the cowboy. Yeah,
he caught on fire one year. Remember?
You been to the Texas State Fair, Coach?
Yeah, we played there. Texas Tech. We played. Who did we play in that stadium?
Cool.
Anyway, it was cool going in there in the buses.
Yeah, and that's
the smell. Good old State Fair.
And I tell you
Big
what,
Tex waving.
I tell you what, Bill. I mean, that's I'm on board with that. And that's But no, Texas has. I mean, after that early Ohio State game, like Texas has a very manageable first half.
San Jose State, UTEP, Sam Houston at Florida before they got Oklahoma. Then they go to Kentucky and Mississippi State before they get Vandy. Texas again for the first 2 years has gotten the best welcome of any school ever to the SEC.
Compared to poor Florida.
Now they didn't want to give Texas Alabama because the two teams they had just played. It made more sense for Alabama and Oklahoma. Texas did draw LSU and Georgia, right?
They don't have LSU.
Oh, they don't have LSU. Don't have LSU.
No,
that's right. That would have to be an SEC championship game.
Again, Texas. I mean, they go to Athens and they've got Texas A&M. I mean, their schedule is still as manageable as anybody in the SEC.
Yeah.
Even though they flip it from last year.
If they win all of those games except Georgia in Athens, they're probably in the SEC championship game.
Yeah, they're 7-1 in conference.
Yeah, and still in the playoff at. I mean, I think a 10-2 team from the SEC, win or lose, in the SEC championship game is probably in pretty good shape to make the –
especially one that was a preseason number one.
I'll tell you what, though. That tells me Texas can't drop any of these going to Georgia suddenly becomes a must-win.
No, if they were to lose, like, to Oklahoma.
Or Florida. Florida.
If they lose to Florida, then – then there'll be a lot of people wondering.
Didn't seem all that crazy a week ago.
No, you're right.
Let Florida beat LSU in Baton Rouge, and we'll see how crazy.
We'll talk about that one and the other ones that should be more interesting in the final half hour.
Let's do the drawing.
I was going to say I was going to give people through the break, but that's fine.
Okay,
we'll draw for the winner during the break. We'll go ahead and get to our bottom of the hour. We'll draw for the winner, and we'll announce that when we come back here for the final half hour of the Friday Drive. Welcome back into the Drive, Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn. Before we get to calls, and we've got a lot of calls holding, Dan, who is the winner of the tickets for tomorrow's Auburn-South Alabama game?
We had several entries, and through random selection, our winner is Naomi. So congratulations to Naomi on winning the tickets from our listener, Brian.
All right, so what we will do is we'll get Naomi's info to Drew, because Drew's got Brian's contact info.
Yes, and Drew has Naomi's contact info now.
Oh, you already got that?
Yeah.
Okay,
so it's a matter of, yeah.
So they'll be getting that figured out.
I will make sure he passes that along to Brian, and Naomi will receive the tickets for tomorrow. Congratulations to Naomi. And again, big thanks to our listener, Brian, for giving a pair of tickets to Drive listeners.
334-321-1390. That is the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. And let's get back to the phones. And I think Mitch is up first. Hey, Mitch.
You are correct.
Hey, guys. You know what? There's nothing better than sitting on the back porch, listening to the Drive day before big college football weekend, selling a mess of peas I picked up in Slocum, Alabama. I mean, wow. Just brings me back to the days when my grandfather grew peas and stuff like that.
But, yeah.
I'm sure Coach Dunn's probably shelled some peas. I don't know about Dan. Bill, maybe down in South Alabama, you probably shelled some
peas. Yes, absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
That's right. But, I can remember sitting on the back porch of my grandma's.
Oh yeah. I mean, and they're I know they've got machines now to manual or to shell them now, but I think they're just better when you hand shell.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
I'm trying to think like local produce I think of from that area. I mean, I went to the Blueberry Festival. I mean, shout out to Bruton, right, Bill? You know,
yeah.
You know,
I'd go to,
Mitch, I don't know if you've ever talked about this on the air. If you get, because Bruton's not that far of a drive from where Mitch is.
No, it's not.
It's not that bad. If you ever, they do it early in the summer, generally in June.
It's like late spring, early summer.
Oh, it's right. If you're anywhere near the area in Bruton in June, that's Blueberry Fest is fantastic. And then still, I think the best watermelon you're going to find just about anywhere is locally grown there, South Alabama, Northwest Florida, the Wiregrass area. But I've not shelled peas before. I got to be honest with you. Can't say that one's not on the resume.
I can understand that. I can see it.
Shell no.
That's not the hardest thing in the world. It's just sort of painstaking.
Well, I mean, I picked them and shelled them, and I would much rather, because in the summertime when we were growing up in the 80s, we would sit in the summertime, we'd sit in front of the television with a big bowl in our lap and watch television and shell peas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was much better than getting up at oh dark stupid and being out there before the sun came up and picking them because they were all wet and it was just, ugh. But anyway, wanted to tell Coach Dunn, I cooked a Boston butt last weekend and I wrapped it and put it in the towel, put it in the styrofoam cooler like you told me, left it in there for about an hour, pulled it out, bone came out completely clean.
There you go.
So yeah, that was some outstanding barbecue. Are you cooking? Are you working at Country's this weekend? Off and you're gonna be able to do it.
No, we're every night pretty much. You know, the home games are our busiest times for the catering tailgates.
But in
competition, if that bone comes out clean, you get a higher score.
Right. And I've seen some of those boxes where they'll take like the money muscle.
Right.
They'll shred a little bit, they'll slice a little bit, they'll kind of make, you know, different parts of it. And everything. So yeah. And I got to give a shout out. Today is my beautiful wife's birthday.
Happy
birthday. Wonderful.
But it's her birthday today. Yeah. And we're probably going to do something tomorrow for her birthday. But I sent Dan a picture. I don't know if he showed you guys, but and you guys were talking about the scoreboard. Well, it's the wife's fault. She's like, I created a monster. But I've got three televisions in my living room now.
Mitch Vision.
Three TVs?
I don't know how you won that argument. I don't know what you had to. I don't know what you had to give up.
Look, I got TVs all over the place, but I don't have three in a room.
I've got three in a room. And
now I can go into game day mode in my living room, which is, you know, which would involve, because I've got the TV,
I could bring in the laptop. I've got the phone. I've got the tablet. If I need to track a bunch
TV
of games,
screen.
But no, I can't. I had a couple of buddies in L.A. that had the quad, Bill, when they needed to. They could move. They had two TVs. They used them as like extra computer screens.
Uh-huh.
And when they needed to, you could create the big screen. But no, that's a lot of screenage there, Mitch.
Well, we've kind of gone through a few TVs and stuff like that, so like last weekend, I had picture in picture on the big 75 incher, and then a game on the right side on the 45 incher, and then I think I had Alabama on the left side on the 32 incher until that game became just boring because they blew them out. But it's like my own little sports bar down here. So anyway, guys. Just wanted to touch base. War Eagle, we'll talk to you guys soon.
All right, have a good weekend,
Thank
Mitch. 334-321-1390.
He's like the norm of
that's right. Hey, Mitch.
Mitch. Yeah. Right, we got the hammer on the on the line. What's up, buddy?
Hello.
Hey, man.
Oh, hey. It's kind of have you got me?
We hear you fine.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, there you are. So, anyway, I got two things I want to talk about. But first piece, I not only picked them, but I grew them. And I want to talk about deer. The deer were highly selective. They knew exactly when the peas were just
mm-hmm.
right.
They did.
And if you didn't get out there and get those peas, by the next day, the plants were stripped.
Yeah.
And I was impressed.
They're really good at that. You're absolutely right.
But anyway, I want to talk about Vanderbilt. But first, a fun little story I remember. Years ago, I know, Billy, you remember this. Bear Bryant had this Sunday afternoon show where they review the previous game.
Sure.
And Charlie something was the host. And he said, well, Coach, yesterday was really a tough game, but thank goodness next week's not that big a game. And Bear said, yeah, just lose it and see how big it is.
That's right. Yeah, with that Coke and Golden Flakes.
Yeah, it's like what minor surgery happens to me.
Yeah.
Minor surgery happens to you, major surgery happens to me. It's like, those games aren't big until you lose one.
Exactly.
Well, anyway, we're kind of in that position.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Absolutely.
You're absolutely right.
But anyway, on to Vanderbilt. They still have that quarterback. His last name starts with a P.
Yeah, Pavia.
Diego Pavia.
Yeah, yeah. He's kind of a little miracle worker in a way, and they're playing South Carolina.
Yes, they are.
And he was the tip of the spear against Virginia Tech last week. I mean, his numbers aren't overwhelming, but they get first downs, and
they believe in him. And
he commands the kind of attention that can open up running lanes for his teammates too. He can fake it and get a lot of. I mean, Coach, you've seen quarterbacks like that, right? Where you have to. I mean, they command.
Like Bill said, the players love him. They believe in him. They play for him, and he's a winner. Mm-hmm. He just gets it done. He doesn't look even like a football player. He's just an old stocky little guy.
Well, they're playing at South Carolina, I suppose.
Yeah, they are. And South Carolina is favored. To my,
it's slight
surprise.
Though. I mean, is it surprising that South Carolina is favored at home?
Well, when it opened, it was around 5, and I was a little surprised that they were. I thought they might be a slight.
I tell you what's crazy though. I mean, it tells you. I mean, what does it say about Vanderbilt that we're saying like, hey, they're going to a team ranked
number 10
wherever South Carolina's ranked. And it feels coin flippy.
I feel like Vandy's a better team.
It feels really coin flippy. And the evidence you have of both of them against Virginia Tech
right.
would tell you that Vanderbilt might be the better team.
Well, since Franklin, they've been kind of on this uptrend to where they're halfway respectable in a way.
Well, Clark Lee has really, you know, he came in talking about he wasn't buying into this try to get to a bowl game. He really believed that Vandy could win. He's got them believing in it, and they've done a heck of a job.
And he's a Vandy guy.
Yep.
And I like him.
And you beat Auburn and Alabama last year.
That's exactly.
I mean, what
right.
what else? What else do you need to? I mean,
that you, proves it. Yeah.
I mean, you beat
that
those two.
You can.
He should have retired.
You can. Yeah. Good stuff. Yeah, good
great
stuff.
Great hearing from you, Alehammer. All right. Let's get to.
You want to get to Philly?
Yeah. Let's get to Philly before we get to our final break.
Yeah, I just wanted to make some statement about the average fickle Auburn football fanatic or to me, you got a lot of Joe six packs watching the three TVs. They're the big screen TV. So after the first game, they're saying, throw the ball to Cam, throw the ball to Cam. So they played Ball State. They threw it 33 times. Seven of them went to Cam. Mm-hmm. The reason they did that is because Ball State was 15 yards off the line of scrimmage.
They were. Yep.
Why would you want to throw it long when you got a guy you can throw to and get 10, 15 yards every play?
Yeah, same thing as in the first game. Why do you want to throw the ball when they're backing off and giving you 7, 8 yards to run on every play?
And bracketing your receivers when they run downfield.
So what happens to this game is if South Florida does the same thing and they just throw these short passes, is the fans going to go, throw long? Well, you know, it's a lot harder if you're Cam Coleman, right? In order to get anywhere, you've got to run 15 yards before you get to where your defender is, and then you got to run. It's hard to run past somebody who's ever tried to run outrun somebody that has a 15-yard lead on you.
Yeah, I think stubbornness, Philly. I think that played a role in some of Auburn's upset losses
last year, and even in
year one. I think thinking, okay, well, no matter what this team is going to do, and I think it was running the ball, like, you know, being insistent that, like, especially in that New Mexico State game, it's this thought that, well, we're going to line up and we're going to run, and even if they're overloading to stop it, we're still going to be able to run on this team, and just not being able to generate a push in that situation. I think against some of the better teams last year that Auburn, or some of the losses last year where it felt like Auburn had a talent advantage, it was insisting that you're going to throw the ball.
Yeah, where if you'd run it, you might have been able to run the clock out, go ahead and control it, win the game.
Yeah, I think being stubborn tomorrow would be, you know, that's how this game is closer than you'd like it to be in the mm-hmm. second half, is doing things sort of regardless of what South Alabama gives up or dares you to do just because you want to work on it. And yeah, I don't know if fans fully appreciate that. They just want to, you know, they've bet the over on Cam Coleman catches and yards, and yeah, they want to, you know, they want to hit their parlay.
Well, when it gets down to the coach, what's more important, wins and losses or how many yards you pass for?
Yeah, well, when you're looking to move your overall mark at Auburn to 500, which is what win tomorrow would do, it better be wins.
Yeah.
I mean, because
Auburn threw for a bunch of yards last year for Auburn.
They did.
Yeah, how'd that work out?
And they went 5-7.
Well, their defense wasn't quite as good as this one now. They've got a solid defense, and you know, if they can keep people under 28, they're gonna win a lot of games.
I would agree with that. Although I think Auburn, you know, had a couple of games last year where
Auburn kept most teams to 20 last year. Yeah, that was the problem was they couldn't score when they got down near the red zone.
But it does feel like you've got an Auburn offense this year that could maybe be
thus far they appear like they're going to be much more productive in the red zone. Anything else?
No, that's basically. Oh, who's the woman who does that? She comes out and she sings every time for that credit union. What a great voice she has! You know, just like she sounds like a professional, big time singer. Isn't she local?
I believe so, but I really don't know.
I think she's I might be wrong, but the 94.3. The one of the women who was the DJ sounds like her voice.
Huh. We'll check on that.
Yeah,
one.
Find out who sings that song because yeah, whoever it is, she's incredibly good.
All right,
I love that tune.
We'll pass it along to her, Joe. All right, have a great weekend.
Bye-bye.
All right, we'll get to
that's a trivia.
Last question. Yeah, I don't know how easy. I can't look that one up. All right, we'll get to our final.
Wow, it is Friday.
Yeah, thank goodness. We'll be back to.
I mean, it's a good song. I'm not gonna. Yeah. I'm not gonna disagree.
There's more
with
to
Billy.
It. I didn't know there was extra verses. So. All right, we're back here on the Friday Drive.
Is important. That's how we know who wins. But some things are even more important, and that's why at Pig Enterprises
at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final few minutes of the Friday Drive. All right, guys. So who do you like? Who do you feel is the or what do you feel is the most likely upset involving an SEC team this weekend?
Is Tennessee an upset?
Tennessee would be an upset. Georgia's probably a 4 or 5 point favorite.
I think I would probably take 10. So I
don't think
who's on the board?
All right, Florida, LSU,
Vandy,
South Carolina. I think Vandy. I like Vandy as the maybe the most likely upset.
Florida, Vandy, Arkansas, and Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Who's the most likely winner?
I'm thinking mine is Vandy.
Now, of those teams, Tennessee's the only home team. Arkansas, Vandy, Florida all going on the road. Ooh. Tennessee, the home dog. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why I'm thinking the Vol Navy. Yeah. And you know, the fact that
– and look, like I said, I picked Tennessee and I started for Doug. But, I mean, as I get right here to it, it's just –
You picked Vandy too.
I did. But, I mean, I just have this feeling that Georgia and Kirby have got more than we've seen thus far. But, yeah, there's a lot of pressure on Gunnar Stockton to – because you expect there to be some points scored, I would think. You expect there to be some points scored at Thielen.
I'm going to have to go with Tennessee and hoping Vanderbilt and Arkansas. I'd like all the underdogs to win tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, except we didn't even mention Wisconsin. I mean, Wisconsin.
I don't have any.
I think Wisconsin may be able to play it under the number, but I just don't see Wisconsin being able to win.
I felt they had a better chance last year, Wisconsin.
Yes,
I agree. How about this? After the way they struggled against Florida State, how urgent is it for Alabama to look good early against Wisconsin?
I think it is because the next game's in Athens.
And I mean, and look, and you can prove whatever you need to prove against ULM.
They go out and struggle, you know, early on. The crowd is not going to be thrilled there at 11 o'clock.
And just like with Auburn last year, like you can think you fix things against a group of five opponent, and then you play a team from the major conference, and it's like, oh, well, suddenly some of those problems are reoccurring.
Say the same thing about Auburn tomorrow, though.
Sure.
If Auburn goes out and really struggles early on, there'll be a lot of, what's going on there in the stands?
You're starting to see the Halloween decorations in stores and things. You can buy the 15-foot skeleton. Like, Auburn is going to be seeing some ghosts, you're right. I mean, it's going to feel haunted.
Remember Jack State?
Yeah, there's.
I mean, you talk about it, an in-state. Oh, that's.
Hugh Freeze has a couple of ghosts he needs to bust tomorrow.
All right. Don't forget, I mean, starting bright and early. I don't even know if it's bright. 7 o'clock tomorrow with game day on Wings before the Auburn Network takes over at 9.
What's the deal with Doug? Are you gonna try to?
I'll try. Doug's going to be at Chappie's from like 6:30 to 8:15.
Yeah, go see Doug. Doug tomorrow if you're up and early.
We will see. Don't forget high school football coming up over on Wings. It's Auburn Enterprise on AU100. It is Lee Scott and Beulah, 6:30 the airtime on both. That's going to wrap things up for the Friday drive. Brian Matthews in with us on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody. We are out of here.
Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.